Oh, this moment for thee.
So we ask the Lord's help in prayer. Our blessed God and our loving Father, we thank thee for the simplicity of this little hymn that we've sung together to simply look to thee, Lord Jesus, and be saved. We thank thee, Lord Jesus, for thy power to save. We thank thee, Lord Jesus, for thy finished work on Calvary's cross. We thank thee, Lord Jesus, that thou didst rise again from the dead and art seated on the right hand of the Father at this very moment, a real man in the glory. But we thank thee, Lord Jesus, that thou art still allowing the gospel message to go forth in this great country. And we pray tonight, as a few of us are gathered here, that thy word would reach into the hearts of each one of us, those of us who are saved, who know thee, Lord Jesus, as Savior, that our hearts may be encouraged, and for those that are not saved, that they may realize the terrible chance that they're taking of going into a lost eternity. And so, our God and Father, we just cry to thee for thy help, that thou wilt use thy word to speak to the hearts of each one here. Lord Jesus, we ask this in thy blessed and precious and perfect name, the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to sing one more hymn. We don't need a hymn sheet or a hymn book. This one's for the kids. Jesus loves me, this I know. We'll sing the first and second verses only. And let's see if the children can really turn up the volume on this one. Jesus loves me, this I know. Solemn responsibility here this evening, and there are two verses that I'm going to start with before I go to the portion, the story that I would like to read. The first verse is found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7 and verse 23. Matthew's Gospel 7 and 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Then in the book of the Revelation, chapter 4 and verse 1. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, the last three lines. Let's just read the three verses. Come up hither. That's the choice tonight for you, my friend. Whether you're ready to come up hither to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, or have him declare to you, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. That's the choice you have to make. And in the prayer meeting before this gospel meeting, there was an earnest mention made of some who have heard the gospel message time and again and are sitting here this evening invited to the gospel meeting, for which we're very thankful, and maybe have not accepted Jesus as Savior. If that's the case tonight, keep those two verses in mind. It's a very solemn thing. It's the Word of God. It's the truth. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I trust that there won't be one person who will hear those awful words. And don't wait till the end of the meeting, because the Lord Jesus Christ might come before that. And then you would be forever lost. Let's turn to the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, and we'll read from the 46th verse, a familiar story to many. Mark chapter 10, verse 46, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the wayside begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Well, you know, this story starts off, they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people followed. There's a large number of people here this evening, and they're following. We're following. We got an invitation. We came out here. Many of us took the same highways to get here to this location for the occasion of this conference, when we will be discussing and have been discussing the Word of God, the Bible. That's what we've been talking about. And you know about it, probably most of you, but if there's someone here that is not saved, I warn you again that if you don't believe that this is the truth of the Word of God and that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners and that the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross, you're in deep trouble. You're on the broad road that leads to destruction. Well, here was Jesus. He was moving along, and there were others with him. And no doubt some of those that were following him knew Jesus in a genuine way. But I dare say that there may have been a few that had a lot of doubts. But there was one person in particular that this story tells us about, and that's a man by the name of Bartimaeus. Now, I don't know how much stock to take on the meaning of names and people's names. And in fact, when I tried to find out what the word Bartimaeus meant, there was no explanation. There was no description of what his name meant. I thought, well, how beautiful. How beautiful. Here's a no-name man. He's a nothing. He's a nobody. Nobody wanted him. He was a cast-off. Nobody wanted this man because he was a nuisance. He was a man who wasn't liked too much. He was blind. And what a testimony that is to a lost condition of man. Are you blind tonight? Oh, you say, "I can see you." Yes, that's not the kind of blindness I'm talking about. I'm talking about the kind of blindness that obscures from your mind the reality of eternity. You haven't just been born into this world to die like a dog or a cat. You have an everlasting soul. An everlasting soul that will have to give account to God. I can tell you this evening that when I was a youngster, I had the privilege of accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. When an aunt of mine faithfully told me a story from the Bible of the three friends of Daniel who were cast into the furnace. I didn't want to go into that furnace. I didn't want to go into that furnace. That was a message I got from it. And you know, this may scare you, but if it does, I'm glad. Scares you to such an extent that you will turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't know it, follow the word. Follow the story that we've been reading. Bartimaeus had no definition for his name as far as we can tell. But it tells us that he was blind and he was the son of Timaeus, and as far as Timaeus is concerned is a question mark, polluted. And I thought about that, and I thought, oh dear, how sad it is if there's anyone in this room who has parents who are not encouraging you. I thank the Lord that if there's someone here that you have had the courage to come into this room and to listen to something that is real and defined. Many years ago, when I was still working before my retirement, a group of businessmen, including myself, were invited to the Canadian National Institute for the Blind to attend a luncheon. And they were doing a little promotion, and they wanted to demonstrate something, just what it was like to be blind. As we went into this dining room, we saw all the beautiful food spread on the table. And then what they did is they took a blindfold and put it around our eyes and tied it in the back and then led us to the table. And then there was a person that was standing up front after they had given thanks for the food. They said, "Now we'll tell you how a blind person eats." So the first thing they said, "Well, your peas are in the 2 o'clock position." Wow, you go around feeling for your plate, and you go to the 2 o'clock position. Can you imagine lifting a fork full of peas and getting them to your mouth safely? And then we had that whole half hour when we were blindfolded, and we had to eat our food. Well, I'm a great eater, as some of you know, but I didn't enjoy that too much because I couldn't see what I was eating. It didn't taste the same. Blind Bartimaeus was blind, but it was more than that. He was lost. He was lost in a world where no one could help him and no one cared. In fact, they told him to be quiet when he started to call out. So first of all, we find that he was blind. Then we see that he was sitting. Well, you're all sitting in chairs here this evening, and that's good. But are you sitting in your sins? If you're not saved, you are. And you know something? We're getting very close to the edge of the Lord Jesus Christ coming back. You say, "I don't understand that." Well, let's break it down a little further. In the Garden of Eden, there were two people. There was a man by the name of Adam and a woman by the name of Eve. And they had a wonderful place. They had a garden like you and I just can't imagine. My wife is quite a gardener. She has a good garden. But it's not. I'm sure it couldn't compare to anything that was in Eden. And these two people were in that garden where God had placed them, and God said for them to enjoy it, to dress it, to do anything they wanted, eat of all the fruit, except for one thing. They were to remain away from one tree. That's all the restrictions that were put on them. So what happens? What happens? It's like a little child. See, now look, mom's baked those cookies. We want to save them for the next meal. Don't eat any of them. What are you doing? You're inviting trouble because they naturally gravitate towards those good cookies. Well, Adam and Eve were close to that tree. Eve certainly was. And there was somebody in that tree that was speaking to them. And that someone is Satan, who is a real being. Don't let anybody tell you that he isn't. And he told him, "Has God told you such and such and such and such?" They put a doubt in their mind, and Eve made the mistake of answering the devil. She made the mistake of answering him, and the devil had her. There was a display of that beautiful fruit. It was good to the eyes. And oh, it would taste so good. And after all, what's the big deal? Just fruit. The big deal was God had said no. They desired after that fruit. Eve took of that fruit. She tasted it and gave to her husband, and he ate it. And there was disobedience. And disobedience must be punished. Disobedience to God is punished, and those that have done that, have disobeyed, will be cast into the lake of fire if they do not confess that they're lost. So that's where it started. There was a fall in the garden. The sin came in. God had prepared a good place for them. God had walked with them in the cool of the day, and that scenario came to an abrupt end. God had to put them out of the Garden of Eden so that they wouldn't take of the tree of life. Well, you know, that's sin. They were separated. God couldn't walk with sin. God is holy. God cannot be touched by sin. He had to do it. Is that the end of the story? Oh, no. No, that's not the end of the story. God's plans can never be frustrated. God had a plan. First of all, he killed an animal, and he took the coat of the animal and dressed them because they discovered they were naked. They hadn't realized it before then. But you know something tonight, my friend? God can look right into your heart. Dear young people, God's looking right into your heart tonight, and older ones and children, and he knows what's going on in that heart. He knows exactly what's there. Your mom and dad may not know. The one sitting beside you may not know, but he knows. He knows what's there. He knows what's in my heart tonight. And if your heart isn't right with God, my friend, you're on a dangerous path. Well, God killed an animal and dressed them. God had a plan. And that plan came to fruition in about 4,000 years. God tested man, his creation, men and women. He tested them to see if they would obey the things that he asked them to do. And they didn't. They didn't. They failed and failed and failed. And finally, God said, I'm going to send my son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to send my son. And so he's born a baby in a manger. Jesus came into this world as a baby in a manger. We all like babies. They're beautiful. Sometimes fathers have said, that's my baby. Oh, babies are beautiful, no matter what they look like. They're beautiful. But Jesus was perfect in every way. And man rejected him. There wasn't room for him. And there isn't room for Jesus tonight for many people. They do not want or love the name of Jesus. I remembered hearing a story of a man who is a Christian, loves the Lord, and he was raised in a very rough part of the city in the West Coast. And one day he was running away from some younger fellows that were trying to beat him up, several of them, and he happened to dart into the back of a little chapel where there was a meeting that was about to take place. And he snuck into the back seat and kind of slouched around, looked around, see what was going on. Well, when the speaker got up to speak, he mentioned the name of the Lord Jesus and he slid under the pew. He thought the man was swearing at him. And that's the only name that some kids know and some young people know. We have kids in the east end of Hamilton that have never heard the name of Jesus. What a delight it is when they come into the Sunday school and you tell them about Jesus. But I dare say that there's probably nobody in this room that hasn't heard the name of Jesus. But let's go a little further. This man, when he found out who Jesus was, he was brightly saved and became a testimony to his love and grace. That's wonderful. And that can happen to you. I thank the Lord that I was brought up in a Christian home where the Bible was read and where I had friends who read the Bible. Some of them are sitting in here that have known me for many years. What happy times we had together. Now, is that going to be good enough? Those of you who've come here to have a happy time, is that enough? Is that going to get you to heaven? No! I'm glad you're here. But if you're here only for a good time, remember, we all want to have a happy time. But if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you're going to leave here, are you? Leave here without accepting Jesus as your Savior? Doing it again and again and again? This is a serious issue. You can't just wash it away, wipe it away, and say, well, that's the way it is. Because Jesus, if you persist in that way, and you don't accept Jesus and he comes, or you pass it to death, and you come in front of the Lord Jesus as judge, and you're knocking on that door, you'll have to say, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you." You know who's a Christian in here. You know what happens here. You know what we had this afternoon. But that isn't enough. You have to repent of your sins and come to the Lord Jesus Christ and own that you're a lost, guilty sinner. Bartimaeus was sitting, and he was begging. What's begging all about? Oh, I've never been to the point where I've had to beg for anything as far as food is concerned. There was always enough food. This man had to beg for his food. I know of one kind of begging. I can remember one of our children who had done something wrong and had disobeyed, and punishment was coming. There was begging. Begging for what? Oh, I'll never do it again. I'll never do it again. I'll never do it again. Oh, I hope not. But you know something? Sin cannot be left to be unjudged. And if you are persisting in your sins, you're going to be judged. If you accept Jesus as your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ has taken the punishment for my sins and the sins of each one in this room who has accepted Jesus as Savior, and you can be included in that. How do you do that? How do you do that? Do you wait till you get to your bed tonight and kneel down and pray? Well, that's a good place to do it, but I would suggest that you can do it right here, right now, this moment, and cry to the Lord Jesus and repent of your sins and come to the Lord Jesus. So begging is not a good occupation. It doesn't have any pension plan. It doesn't have any health plan or dental plan or anything like that. It's just for now. Are you just going to enjoy the pleasures of sin for now? Or are you ready to realize that there's much more for you? The Lord Jesus Christ has said, "I'm going to bless you." He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You understand that? Just come to him. We were singing this hymn in here. Look, 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 and live. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ and accept him as Jesus and Lord, and you will live. You will live. Well, Bartimaeus heard something. He heard a noise. Just before this gospel meeting, I was coming out of the washroom, and I heard some laughing. You know, it brought a thrill to my soul to hear the kind of laughter I heard. I think it was laughter of those who enjoyed each other's company, and I trust that each one, they were all young people that were there, I trust that each one of them know Jesus as Savior. You know, there's a lot of shallow laughter going on in this world, and in fact, there are many men and women are paying large amounts of money to be entertained and to be made to laugh. Man wants to be entertained. He wants no silence. Young people, you won't be offended for those of you who are going to college or university or high school, whatever it may be, that I was talking to some young people who say, "Well, I can't study unless I have my ears plugged into some music." Two things there. You're deaf. Second, I don't think that's the real definition of music. I don't think it's the real definition of music. When we were driving out here and coming through a town just yesterday, we suddenly heard boom, boom, boom. And I said, "What's going on? What happened?" I said, "It's the car just behind us." And as they were going by, I saw a set of speakers. You guys probably know what that's all about. But 8 speakers in it, all blasting out noise. Noise! What is it all about? I believe, my friend, in all seriousness, that the devil wants to deafen you so you do not listen to the reality of what's going on. And so some young people say, I got to be plugged in to be able to study. I don't know how that works. I don't think it'd be too easy to read the Word of God. Have your ears plugged into the noise. Can you sit in silence and enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ? Or do you have to be active continually to be stimulated, to put away, to hide all these things that are brought to your conscience? The time is coming when all those things are going to be exposed, and you're going to stand there if you don't accept Jesus as your Savior and have no plea. There will be no rebuttal, because God has a book. And in that book, He's got my name. In this book, He's got the names of all those that are saved in the Lamb's Book of Life. But there's another book, too. But you know, it's recorded exactly what you've done. And not only what you've done, but your thoughts are recorded. Can you imagine that? Would anybody here volunteer to put their thoughts on a board right this minute? You know, it's amazing. Even in a gospel meeting, sometimes we have some strange thoughts go through our mind. The devil is trying to pick up the seed tonight and say, don't listen to the gospel. That's his aim and ambition, to destroy the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He hates the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my Savior. And if he's my Savior, then he's going to attack. He's going to bring all kinds of strange thoughts to your mind. Well, blind Bartimaeus heard some noise. Oh, good thing. He was blind, but he could hear. He had ears to hear. You've all got ears to hear, and I hope I'm talking loud enough that you can hear me. But it doesn't matter what you hear from me. Do you hear the Word of God? And are you ready to respond to it? That's the question. That's the question. I remember talking many years ago to a friend from school. We were driving back from, I can't remember where, and his father was a devout Christian, as it was his mother, and we were talking about spiritual things, and this is when I was a teenager, and he said to me, well, you know something, the only reason you think and do what you say you're doing is because you were brought up that way. Well, praise the Lord. That's good. But it's got to be more than that. I will not get to heaven on the faith of my mother and father. I have to make my individual decision, which I have. And many others here in this room have. But how about you, young people? Have you made your individual decision for the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you sitting here and waiting? And if you're waiting, what are you waiting for? I used to take the train to Toronto to work. And you know, you see some very strange things on a train. Some very strange thing. One thing I'd noticed over a period of time, there's a lady. And she would wait till the second last stop before we got to where we were going off. She happened to go off to the same place I did. And she would get up and she would walk to the door. She would be the first one in the train to get a seat. And two stops before the last stop, she would hurry to the door. And I can remember the train pulling in to the station, and she stood by the door. I could see her. Slow down, slow down, slow down, slow down. She's just waiting. She wanted to be the first one out of that train and on her way home to watch television. I don't know. I don't know what she wanted to do. She wanted to get out fast. What's the point I'm making? I'll tell you something. I wasn't one of the first ones off. I'm not normally at the end of the crowd either. But I got in my car and left the parking lot, and who should be two cars ahead of me? This lady. Here, time after time, she would stand for that period of time, wanting to get off. She was so eager to get off. Would it be that you were so eager to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ that you couldn't wait to spend some time with Him? You couldn't wait, if you don't know Him, to accept Jesus as Savior? Well, Bartimaeus heard the noise, and it tells us he cried out. Oh, he had a second thing that worked. He had ears that worked, and he had a voice that worked, and he used it. He heard the noise, he cried out. probably told the story before in a gospel meeting, but you know, a number of years ago, we were cleaning a yard at my mother-in-law's place, and we're raking up some leaves, and I went to the shed in the back. I wanted to get a hoe or something out of it, a spade, and so I went there, and I opened the door, and you know, if I talk loud, you should have heard me holler that time. Sitting there was a beautiful pussycat with a white stripe down her back. I was fearful of something. I was scared that something would happen, but I'm pretty sure that I outran it. If whatever happened did happen, I was gone. And I think he was as scared as I was, because when I came back, he wasn't there. Cried out. There was a noise. Well, here we are. He cried out. He wanted something. He had a problem. He wanted to address that problem. And let's read the verse. Verse 47, Mark chapter 10, verse 47. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Oh, Jesus means Savior. He knew that, and he wanted something done. He had a sincere desire. He wasn't running away because he couldn't see where he was going. He was blind, but he could hear and he could call out. And he knew it was Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth. He said, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. You know, there are times, I can recall when our children were young, and we'd go shopping, and my children sing loud like I do, and they would sing Jesus Love Me at the top of their voice in the shopping center. Well, you know, you're kind of, shh, not so loud. You know, it's not necessary. That's what they did to this man. They said, shh, calm down. Don't be so noisy. You're distracting everybody else. Nobody wants to see you. After all, they all still thought he was nothing. He was no good, and he wasn't. But the people that were trying to prevent him weren't any good either. So it tells us here, and many charged him that he should hold his peace. There are many today that will say, calm down, it's not serious. This world is getting better. Whoa, where have you been? This world is getting better? Better in what? Not the last time I checked. You know, I like to kind of keep tab to see what's happening in the political world in our country of Canada, because we have a prime minister who loves the Lord. I was so thrilled to hear that he loved the Lord Jesus Christ, and he had some values that he wanted to adhere to. Unfortunately, he got a government that was a minority government, and he had to make some deals on the way. And also, we just pray that he won't compromise his Christian position. I don't know how you would do that in a political setting. But you know, he loves the Lord Jesus, he and his wife. Well, that's wonderful to have that. The Lord put somebody in there, the same as he did in this country with the president. But you know, it's a very, very dirty field. Very difficult to walk through and maintain a testimony. Well, these people said, quiet, quiet. But did that stop this man? No! He had a voice, he had ears, and he was kept on shouting louder. Isn't that what it says? But he cried the more a great deal, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Oh, I love that. And somebody says something and puts it right down there, and you know exactly what he's saying. No doubt about it. It's put right on the line. And I want to put it on the line for you tonight too, my friend, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior. I'm telling you, on the authority of the Word of God, you're lost. You're lost. But there is the alternative. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, the Lord. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Isn't that wonderful? God's word tells us that beautiful verse we all know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not, oh, there's that word, perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, you know, we sometimes stress the perish a lot, and I think that's necessary. But you know, the key in that verse, John 3:16, is the love of God. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ was God's plan. When man fell in the garden, he was born into this world. He walked through this scene in perfection. He did only good. He got all his instructions from God the Father, and he followed them exactly. Man did not want him. They said, we will not have this man to reign over us. They said, crucify him, crucify him. They had no mercy on him. It tells us in Matthew that they sat down and watched him. That is the heart of man. They sat down and watched him. These people here told him to be quiet. You're disturbing the peace. But then something happened. Jesus stood still. He heard this man. And tonight, my friend, boy, girl, young people, older ones, if Jesus is speaking to your heart tonight, will you listen to him? Jesus stood still. He will listen to you. Will you accept that? But then he said something. Did he just stop and then keep on going? That's the way sometimes some of us Christians do. We just hear it and then keep on going. But Jesus didn't do that. He commanded him to be called. Jesus is calling. He called this man. He knew what was wrong with this man. He knew what was in his heart. He knew what he could do and couldn't do. Jesus invited him to come. And so as one who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, I believe I have the responsibility and the privilege to invite you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you prepared to repent? Please don't remain in your sins. You know, this meeting is going to end in a few minutes. And I know what's going to happen. The volume will go up. And maybe you will say, well, doesn't sound like it's a continuing thing. Please don't take that attitude. If you are under conviction tonight, if you realize the need that you have, and you're not sure what to do, would you come and see somebody? Come and see me or somebody up here in the front row, sisters, brothers, young people, children. It's just so nice if you would come. That's a privilege we have. There was a young lad a number of years ago in our Sunday school. Again, another story I like to tell. He was saved. He was in the basement of our Sunday school at the hall, and he was saved. He didn't know anything about Jesus, but he knew that Jesus could save him. And you know what his testimony was when he came up those stairs and I met him? He said, you know something? They're having a party for me in heaven tonight. Oh, he had heard the verse, joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. That was all he knew, and he said what he knew. We have another little youngster in our Sunday school, quite a few coming. They come from some pretty bad homes. This young fellow says, I'm a loser. My dad says I'm a loser. This young fellow is only 8 years of age, and he says, I'll probably get married and have kids and, you know, do what the rest of them are doing in this community. What an
outlook. An 8-year-old to already have seen what was going on, that mess, that awful mess in that, I won't even call it a home, in that house. What a sad thing. We're not talking to those tonight because they're not here. We're talking to you. Do you have a situation that you need to deal with? Is there some sin in your heart which you feel is just too great? Our brother said this afternoon that you can be saved because the chief of sinners is already saved. His name was Paul. He was saved. Beautiful story. He was saved. And if he can be saved, you can be saved. And if you want to be saved, it's simply a matter of saying, Lord Jesus Christ, I need you as my Savior. I need you to wash my sins away. Well, in this case, we find that this man threw away all the clothes and the outer clothes, and away he went to see Jesus. And Jesus says, let's read it. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? What do you want me to do for you? He knew what he wanted. He said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. What do you want the Lord Jesus to do for you? You want the Lord Jesus to maybe intervene in a problem that you have in school with your lessons? Or maybe your best friend has given you up? Or maybe you've done something which is really, really, really bad, and you just say, well, I can't talk to anybody about it. Whenever I talk to somebody about it, they're just going to tell somebody else. Tell the Lord Jesus. I'll guarantee you that there's people here that wouldn't tell anybody else. If you need help, would you like to accept Jesus as your Savior? That's the first step you have to take. Because all those other things are the things that Satan has on his buffet for boys and girls and men and women today. It tells us here that after he made his request, did something happen? And Jesus answering said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. It doesn't take time. You don't have to go through all kinds of torture. You don't have to go through all kinds of petitions and all that kind of thing, and go through a church. And it's not necessary. There's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, who went to the cross of Calvary to die there. He is the one that is waiting for you to come. He is making an offer for you to come. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. That is the solution. That is the solution. Just want to read, our time is gone. I just want to read a couple of verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to bring the Word of God before you to show you what this means. The person who was guided to write these words was the chief of sinners. And he said in the first verse, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. Verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. There it is. Jesus is coming. before Jesus suffered on the cross, he said to his followers, "If I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." That only applies if you have taken the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and applied it to your heart. If you accept that the Lord Jesus suffered in your stead on the cross of Calvary. If you accept the fact that on those three dark hours on the cross of Calvary, when God punished his only begotten Son so that I could be saved and so that you can be saved. I thank the Lord that I am saved. That was a promise. That promise holds in the year 2007. We may not see the end of 2007. So how it's going to be? You have to make a decision tonight. Not making a decision, as we sometimes say. If you're still in your sins and you persist in that and you die in your sins, or you persist in that when the Lord Jesus comes, he's going to have to say, "I didn't know you. I didn't know you." It's such a simple thing to confess the Lord Jesus Christ. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, here's the promise, thou shalt be saved. You don't understand that? You shall be saved. What a wonderful thing to be able to respond when the Lord Jesus comes and he says, "Come up hither. Come up hither." The decision is yours. You can reject him. You have the power to do it. But if the Holy Spirit is working in your heart, my friend, don't put it off. Again, I would say, as I said earlier, if you're not sure, if there's something that hasn't been clear, would you please come up here after the gospel meeting and speak to some of these people over here and myself? Glad to talk to you. Please do it. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and nobody else knows it, tell somebody about it. If thou shalt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That is a promise. That's a guarantee. The best guarantee that you could ever have. Let's sing another hymn. Number 232. "Just as I was, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bad'st me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I came."
332.
Sorry, 332. Thanks, Bill. Now, when you're singing this, are you going to be able to say, "I came"? I'm going to be singing it. Caleb's going to be singing it. And many others are going to be singing it. What about you? You better tell the truth. You better tell the truth. God knows what's in your heart. And if I look around and I see somebody singing that, and they're not saved, there isn't much I can do about it. But the Lord knows. Let's sing it. "Just as I was
I was in my office back in Winnipeg. We had some difficulties. After lunch, I was looking for our chief executive officer. I found him under his desk, on the floor, into eternity. That man's name was Ralph. And I remembered him saying to me, "You want to have a revival meeting? Don't have it near my office." I don't know whether that man ever changed his mind. I didn't see it. He's in eternity. If he didn't accept Jesus as Savior, he's in a lost eternity. No further opportunity. A few years before that, a little brother, 10 years of age, he died. I remember his sister telling, or him telling my sister, when she wept, she says, "Don't cry for me. I'm going home." What a difference. That's the difference that you have to face. Can you make that decision tonight? Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we thank Thee tonight that Thou art the Savior of sinners. Tonight we thank Thee, Lord Jesus, for each one in this room who has accepted Thee, Lord Jesus, as Savior. Now we just pray for Thy Word alone that has gone forth, that Thou wilt use it mightily to stir up the hearts of anyone who still may not know Thee as Savior. We pray that Thou will give them a convicting power that will give them the courage to turn to Thee now. Give them the courage to speak to someone if they need any help, Lord, and help us to be useful in that way too. We ask Thy blessing now on Thy Word tonight as it has gone forth in this hall. And wherever else it has gone forth, bless it, we pray. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.